This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We had that story about the police officer. Remember this one where they were in Ferguson on the anniversary of Michael Brown, and the guy was running from the police, and he tackled the cop, and the cop fell back, and he has severe brain damage. And the attorney, and I understand it, I used to do it, was saying, like, well, he has a great smile. Let's let him out of jail. Okay. And it's about his intent, and he's the sweetest pie in the pantry. I remember being at Wash U Law, and the first thing they do to justify their exorbitant fees is they convince you all that you're geniuses and you're going to be Supreme Court justices and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, that some have went a different way. But I remember one of my professors in my first year said, I'm going to level with you. Here's all law school is. We teach you to take language apart, whether the written word or orally, and put it back together in such a way that it benefits your client and hurts the opposing side. That's it. That's law school. Isn't that weird? Isn't it weird that we have this profession that at least at some point was respected and takes you 3 years to get a degree and a couple hundred thousands of dollars at least if you pay full boat at a good school? And it's all to use language to benefit you and hurt someone else, and you're just bending the truth. You're just twisting logic. You know you're not saying the truth. It's not seeking the truth. The system hopes that by prosecutor Kevin and defense attorney Dave clashing and crossing swords, that the finder of truth, a judge or a jury, will be able to sort through it and find the nugget of truth. Here's what really happened. But Kevin's job isn't to present the truth. And my job isn't to present the truth. It's to present the farthest thing from the truth that we can ethically get away with. And I just find that odd.
Yeah. I don't think it has to be that way, but it probably is more often than not.
Yeah.
Because there are times where, let's say I'm arguing for an innocent client. Well, maybe I am telling the truth. You know, the truth can be aligned with that, but the way that you're being taught is, what if it's not?
Yeah.
You still have to win, right?
Yeah.
Like that. But again, is that conflict overall worth it? Because in the end, the whole point is protecting innocent people from having their freedoms taken away.
And what's at the cornerstone of it? Why is it like that? Well, I think one of the cornerstones is we just don't believe each other.
Yeah.
We don't trust the other person to tell their truth. Hey, look, I'm going to level with you. You tell me what you think this case is worth, and I'll tell you. Let's write it on a piece of paper. But we don't trust each other to do that.
Right.
And so whatever, let's say that the case is worth $500,000 and you hand me a note that says $500,000. Well, now I think you're fudging it. Now I think somehow you know it's worth more. Make sense? Like we just lack a basic trust in each other.
Yeah, with so many things, there is no objective truth. Right? I mean, there are objective truths, but not in all things.
Right. But if you tell me your truth and I tell you mine, and they're the same, we're probably pretty close to it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, at least, yeah.
But that just doesn't happen.
No.
It's just weird hearing that. Like, he should be let out of jail because he has a great smile. Okay.
Yeah, no. And also, just on the bigger picture, I mean, like, we are judged by what we do, not by what people think we are.
Well, he was saying, too, that it's all about intent. And
no.
It's not.
No.
If I'm at a bar and Kevin's being Kevin, and we're arguing about something, and he's getting aggressive with me, and I shove him back away from me, just meaning to get him out of my face, and he trips and falls and he dies, I'm still going to jail.
Yeah, I mean, there will be a delineation. That wouldn't be first-degree murder. So we do include intent, but the result is what we start with.
Yes.
Right? I mean,
and if there's a cop with brain damage, you're probably not going home.
No. I mean, again, your action, the action you chose at that moment led to this. And now it's just a matter of determining the degree to which you're punished.
Yeah, just interesting. This is weird. I forget that I have a law degree. I really do. It's like a movie I saw.
Yeah.
It really is. It's like, hey, remember when you saw that movie that you went to law school? Like, oh, yeah, what was that called? Anywho.
Cousin Vinny.
I did watch a lot of Law & Order back in the day.
Oh, for me, it was L.A. Law.
Yeah.
L.A. Law tricked me into going to law school.
Nice.
Yeah. Razor's Edge?
Yes, let's talk about Halloween because it's coming up. And there are quite a few things I want to talk about because recently we've been chatting about trunk or treat and how it's kind of BS that these kids just go to a parking lot and they get all their candy handed to them out of the trunk of a car. Takes away some of the fun, some of the mystique, some of the danger or like the perceived danger of Halloween. Because isn't that part of it? Is it's like we're going out into the night. We're knocking on doors. We don't know who we're going to see.
Breathing through a mask with a little slit in it.
Yep. Well, Trunk or Treat is looking pretty good after I saw the latest trend. Have you seen this on TikTok, Dave? The boo baskets?
I don't think so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Andrew's seen it.
Yeah.
So the idea is basically you go to Target or Walmart or one of those stores and you buy a basket as if you were buying like an Easter egg basket.
Mm-hmm.
And you get your container and you just fill it up with all sorts of different candy and Halloween toys and like maybe a blanket or something, and you just give that to your kids instead of doing a trunk or treat or a trick or treat.
That sucks.
It takes away all the action involved.
Yeah. Let's just call the whole thing off.
Yeah.
Why don't you just give them some spoiled milk and a piece of toast?
Yeah. Why don't you just get a bag of variety candy from Target and just whip it at them.
Yeah, that's no good. Hear.
And then some people are doing this in addition to trick-or-treat or trunk-or-treat, to which people are saying, like, okay, wait, hold on. Now you're asking me to do one more thing on top of all of that.
That we had in the neighborhood, we'd call it getting booed. Where like, oh, I'm going to go boo the Wheelers. Mm-hmm. And you would leave them. But that was just like a...
It was for like the parents more than anything?
Yeah, probably.
Well, people are complaining, saying there's already costumes, trick-or-treating, fall festivals, hayrides, pumpkin carving, corn mazes, the state fair. Do we really need to add more?
You can always say no.
Yeah, but if you
choose not to do something. I don't recall my dad ever having a problem saying the word no.
Right. In the 70s, I don't remember anyone being like, what's going on with Halloween? He was like, go, get out there, avoid the pedophiles. Let's have great candy and then take a shot.
Do we? I'm being serious.
You know what you're getting into.
Do we have a reason to be worried about traditional trick-or-treating? Like, is trunk-or-treat really necessary? Or is that more of a cover because it's just easier? You know, like, we'll just use that whole safety thing as a cover because this is just so much more convenient and it's over faster. And I don't have to walk around my neighborhood with a wagon carrying my littlest kid while my other kid's gone. Is it just that? Because I don't know of any danger, anything that's changed in terms of child safety for Halloween since I was a little kid.
I think the only thing that's changed is it feels like, and this is not to blame the children, but it feels like the children are less capable of navigating those kind of situations without an adult there because the adult's always there.
No, I agree with that. But this is kind of my point is I feel like the trunk or treat stuff is just an excuse to make it easier for the parents that would otherwise have to walk their kids through the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Am I wrong in that?
I've done both. And Maureen did the yeoman share of the trunk or treat, but she worked her butt off. Like doing a trunk or treat is not easy or cheap for the parents. It's just easy for the kids.
Yeah, because maybe that gets back to what we've talked about a million times is parents trying too hard to clear the path for their children to make everything too easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to get so much candy for a trunk or treat.
Oh.
Like to give out to all the kids.
It's,
you
got
to make
nuts.
Sure you have enough.
And you can't keep
properly.
All the candy you get.
Yeah,
Phoebe would fill up like three giant bags. I'm like, well, this is going to last for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a new study. Speaking of the boo baskets and, oh my gosh, this is getting too expensive. This is getting out of hand if you're doing that on top of everything else. LendingTree did a survey polling 2,000 consumers in the United States. And 59% of Halloween shoppers say they plan to forgo any purchases towards the holiday, including decorations, candy, and party supplies. 59% of those surveys are just opting out of Halloween in
general. Used to be that, you know, you would turn your porch light off. And that meant don't come to my house, and people still do that. But it was, like, really few and far between. I mean, like, in a whole night of trick-or-treating, you might see two. And now, at least on my street, I'd say half. half the houses, they'll like shut off the light. What I'll typically do is shut off the light and put candy on the stoop. And you're like, hey, take as much as you want. I'll fill it back up with, you know, some candles and some ghosties and things like that. But I don't want to answer the door. I'm that guy now.
I want to answer the door. I want to see all the cute little kids in the little costumes.
Yeah, I feel the same way about that interaction as I do DoorDash. I don't need it. You don't need it.
I'll just set it on the doorstep.
Man, you trust the bowl thing? Because I've done that. I did that one time. We did it once when Shannon was really little, maybe like two. We're like, you know what? We both want to walk around with her because it's her first one. Maybe she was three. I don't know. The first one she was really into.
Mm-hmm.
And we put the bowl on it. I mean, and I forgot something. I'm like, oh, I'm going to run back to the house and grab this. And gone. It was gone.
Yeah,
I mean, I feel like three minutes later, it was gone.
Lessons at minimum. Like,
yeah.
If you're the kind of piece of crap that's going to pour the whole thing into your bag, you'll remember this.
I'd almost put, if I were going to do it again, I'd put a sign up and be like, you are being recorded.
Calling the state police if you take more than
this will go down on your permanent record.
Now, I've been shocked the other way. Like, I've been shocked that at the end of the night, there's candy left.
Yeah, and I've even seen, I haven't seen it personally, it hasn't happened, but I've seen videos of it because people have their ring cams,
mm-hmm.
where a bunch of kids yeah. came up to an empty bucket,
yep.
and they put some of theirs so in it.
That's so cute.
So the kids coming behind them would get something.
And a lot of times it's moms taking it.
Yeah, I've seen
taking
a video
the
of that.
Oh, I did see that once. There was like two moms that mm-hmm. were like emptying it.
Just take it.
Oh, I hate them so much.
Okay, one more Halloween story here for Razor's Edge. It's not really a story. It's a what do you guys got going on? Have you seen any ridiculous Halloween costumes for 2024? Because I have seen one. Actually, our friend Julie Lally sent me. She was at a Halloween store, and she sent me a picture. The Hawk to a Girl has a Halloween costume.
Kidding.
Yes.
What is it, dare I ask?
You know what? Let me pull it up because I kind of forget. Let me find it really quick. But it didn't have the long blonde wig because she was like, oh, you love her so much you could be her for Halloween. There's a Hawk to a t-shirt, hats, a jumpsuit. Is she known for wearing a jumpsuit?
No
I just
idea.
Don't understand. And just various things that say Hawk to a that you could be for Halloween. That seems like one of the cringier costumes you
yeah.
could do in 2024.
Yeah. Yeah, the Hawk to a thing was a real...
I'm sorry I keep bringing her up. I'm like, people won't stop talking about this Hawk to a Girl. But let me bring her up for the 45th time.
It's just a real moment for me. Like, I get that people, you know, Lieutenant Dan in his little boat in Tampa Bay is going to be famous now. And you know, all these people are getting, Hawk to a Girl is going to be a millionaire. But that one, it was such an ordinary joke. It offended
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
It offended me as a comedian.
Yeah, for me, it was just like, I don't see what's so funny about it.
Yeah, no, it's an obvious joke.
Yeah, it's like, okay, yeah. I get why it, like, you know, went a little viral, like, oh, yeah, she went there.
She said it.
Yeah, and then people are just like, have you ever seen
Yeah, I mean, it was a drunken
comedic
joke.
Genius.
Yeah. Right.
Like, okay.
And it was funny. I mean, the first time I saw it, I went, ha! And then that was it. And I kept scrolling and I'm like,
oh,
wait a minute.
Cute.
A week
now
later.
She has a podcast.
And a week later, I'm like, wait a minute. That went.
Security.
She's
guards.
Famous now for that?
Yeah, nuts. He turned to me. Andrew, help me out. Say,
hurry, boy, it's hamburger.
Thank you.
From Dottie's. Dottie's Family Restaurant in Cuba, Missouri. They will be on in 5 minutes.
It's excellent. This is a Grandma Glover burger.
Mmm.
Sorry we're eating in front
yeah.
of you.
Yeah.
Yum, yum, yum.
Sorry. Dude, the little tater kegs?
Are bad.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, my goodness.
Tater so kegs. Good.
There's a new galaxy we're hip to.
Yeah?
Called Rebels 25. How cool is that?
Oh, what a name.
And I don't understand the ins and outs of it because, once again, I'm not an astronomer. But it is formed very similar to the Milky Way. And evidently, the Milky Way is we thought, unique. And the time that it formed, it should not be formed in this way.
Ah.
And so they're really trying to figure this out. It should be in much more disarray, but it is.
Because it was before us?
I think so. It should not be this put together, but it is. And it's almost a mirror reflection of our own Milky Way.
Nice.
So they're freaking out about it. Rebels 25.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Did you see, by the way, the stuff that's been going around on the UFO stuff?
Yeah. Bring me up to speed on
that. What was that called again? There's apparently a document. This is all, in the unconfirmed people are reporting thing, but like the big people, like Jeremy Corbell, who's one of the big documentarians and UFO people. That doesn't mean that, you know, they're right and all that, but it was something like Interstellar something, and I'm forgetting the name of it. But there's a document, there allegedly is a document, a government document brought forth by a military person saying, yeah, we've been collecting crashed UFOs forever and retrofitting them. And these guys, I forget the other, the guy from Vegas, George Knapp.
Yes.
He and Jeremy Corbell, like two weeks ago, did a video, said they're getting death threats because they're revealing this information. And I don't know what to make of it. So I would say most likely, I mean, again, I'm always in the same category. Like, I still need to see things.
Yeah.
And hear them from particular people before I'm going to go too crazy.
Amy, when I said, will we be here in 80,000 years? She said, no, because Jesus won't wait that long to come back in her faith tradition. And I feel the same way about the UFO disclosure. It can't go on that much longer, right? I mean, it's one thing to start in 1947 with flying discs.
Yeah.
But now that we have all this and the Department of Defense videos, like how much longer? I guess indefinitely.
I mean, I guess you can also throw in the angle that is possible. That it's all just a ruse to keep us off of technology that they've been developing,
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 233. We were just eating in front of you. Bad radio host, but we had these fantastic burgers.
So good.
From Dottie's Family Restaurant, which is in Cuba, Missouri. And Chef Matthew Unger is the author of Missouri Comfort Recipes, Places, and Food Traditions in the Show Me State. And he brought along Brian McKenna for some reason. I don't know. He just must have been loitering outside again. So, with his shirt off.
With my shirt off on 44.
He has nothing else to do. Actually, the burgers, we had a restaurant in Cuba, and it is no longer. However, the burgers are down locally here at Gravoy and Lindbergh in Sunset Hills.
Oh, that's close.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
We are, plans to open four or five more in the metro area. In the convenience store. And then probably 26 will open one out in Cuba area.
Very nice.
At least we're thinking about it.
Now, I have a theory. I'm no chef. I do like to cook, and I like to do it really instinctively because my ADHD doesn't let me read recipes. Like, I just look at a recipe, and I'm like, not today. I think it's hard to screw up a burger, but we have. Like, all of these brioche buns and all of this, like, stacked everything. Like, dude, the way my mom, Grandma Glover, made it is the way you're making those burgers.
Yeah.
Just stay out of the way of the burger.
And here's the deal. We sell burgers and french fries. We don't sell chicken sandwiches and fish sandwiches. It's you do one thing and do it right. So, it was a long time planning on this, but we tried to find the perfect bun. We don't make them, but we found a pretty good one. And the blend of the patty itself is short rib, chuck,
wow,
and brisket.
There you go.
So the flavor there of that you meat, go. The flavor of the meat. I mean, that's all you
that's
need.
That's not even a burger.
It just kind of melts in your mouth too.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So, how'd you get into this whole thing?
I've been a chef for over 20 years, probably about 25 years, and I had a restaurant in South City, Matthew's Kitchen, right by DeBerg. It's a Salt and Smoke now. And when we decided to hang it up, I saw this opportunity to build a food service program at Midwest Petroleum in their convenience stores. And I thought, that sounds pretty cool, building something from scratch. And, man, it could not be better. It's, it's the best company to work for from top down. And, James McNutt is the president and just the nicest guy, great leader, great insight. And, lucky to have the opportunity to, try these things out. Some things work, some things don't, but this was, it's only been there 2 months and already a home run. And we got the green light to open four or five more of these right away.
Yeah. George Mahey, the food and wine editor of St. Louis Magazine, I've threatened to open a restaurant several times. and I was going to do barbecue and fried chicken, and he was like, do burgers. He's like, that's the only way you can make money is to do something like burgers, and you just have to crush it. You just have to have a really good, but he's the same way. Keep it simple. Don't have a bunch of extraneous stuff.
They try to do all kinds of crazy things, and it's just, you know, every once in a while, that's good, but on the daily, I could eat one of these every day for lunch.
Yeah,
and 100%. In fact, I joked, I was in the store picking these up, and there was a customer there, and we were going back and forth, and I said, you know, it's cost me a lot of money since we opened this burger place because my kids want to eat it every night.
Yeah, there you go.
So personally, I don't know if it's been a great thing, but for the company, it's been amazing.
So again, just so we're clear, where do people get these burgers right now?
Inside the gas station, Midwest Petroleum, inside the convenience store. It's a Phillips 66 on the corner of Gravois and Lindbergh.
You know where that is, Rich? Used to be kind of your neighborhood a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Sunset Ford. You know where Sunset Ford
is? Yeah. Yep.
Right across the street.
Yep. Very nice.
We're right
Very
across
nice.
The street. Brand new building. You know, we've only been open, I'd say, I don't know exactly, but less than 6 months.
Very nice.
So in our next one, January, we'll have one in St. Charles out by Lindenwood.
Oh, that's going to do great.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Are you on your way in from work?
That's right on the way to and from, guys.
Nice. Nice.
To and from.
Perfect.
Sweet.
For easy to eat in the car.
Uh-huh.
Easy to eat in the car.
Yeah, road food. So you guys know each other from being neighbors?
When did we meet?
Look at the awkward pause right there.
We knew each other
before.
Like,
what do we admit to?
What are we going
to
say?
Right, same neighborhood.
Yeah.
But I actually met you when I came into your restaurant. I mean, I don't know how many
years
ago.
I think we knew each other before that, but, you know, we got close at the restaurant because Brian would come in the evenings, and if we were slower, I would go out. You know, I'd make his dinner, go out, and, you know, he knows everything that's going on in the neighborhood, so I'd catch up because I know nothing. Because when you own a restaurant, you know nothing because all you do is work.
Yeah. And when all you do is run around with your shirt off, you know everything.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Rach, have you ever seen guys run around Francis Park?
Oh, yeah.
Off? Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not
It's
the
not
only
just
one.
Brian.
Okay.
Well, it's Brian and Andrew.
But they're not my friends.
Okay.
I'm not responsible for
that's
them.
That's true.
Between you and Andrew, friggin'.
They should start
male
a shirtless
strippers
gang.
Over here.
No one's looking at me. Don't worry.
Let's take our shirts off right now.
All right, let's not.
I agree.
No, dude, if I see you shirtless, I'm looking like I've never looked before. I love that you were shirtless, but I love the reason that you knew you had a shirt at your destination where you were going.
Yeah.
So why would you waste another perfectly good
no
shirt?
No need to bring a shirt. There's a shirt there.
And it makes sense in some weird way.
Yeah, I'm going to the shirt. I don't need to bring one with me.
So tell us about the book. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. Totally separate project. I got approached by another buddy in the neighborhood who owns Reedy
Press. I
need to
move to this neighborhood.
It's a great neighborhood, except for Brian and I live there. And he came to me with this idea. I was helping him with another project he had. And he said, why don't we do a book on Missouri food and Missouri recipes? And the original concept was, you know, we would go to restaurants, get recipes from restaurants, promote them, and I would do kind of a copycat recipe, you know, a spin on it.
Like how you actually make this at home.
Exactly. But, you know, trying to get a hold of 70 to 80 restaurant owners or chefs, like I said earlier, you're so busy, you don't have time for that.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, we built this out, and we did some digging on the history of Missouri, kind of where all the food came from, the ethnicities, where they settled. So each chapter is on that. We write a little bit about the history, and then we recommend some restaurants in Missouri that you could go to get that type of food. And then I did, you know, 8 to 12 recipes per chapter.
I could follow these recipes. I mean, they're like three sentences.
I mean, anybody can. And I mean, really, if you don't cook, not a problem.
Yeah.
We made it, you know, every one of them is very simple. Some are a little time consuming because, you know, you got to put toaster raviolis in there if you're doing a Missouri comfort food. So there's some steps, but nothing crazy.
Doesn't it feel like it's Missouri's turn? Like, I get this national show prep every day, and if it says Missouri, I'm like, here we go. It's going to be someone marrying their goat.
Right.
And South Carolina and the Lowcountry food is now all the rage, and it just feels like it's... When is it going to be our time to show off a little bit?
Okay, a couple things. First, I don't typically follow those. I follow them, but don't fall into those trends. But I do love Lowcountry food. Just, you know, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But I challenge people to go to other cities and try and find the quality of restaurants that we have in St. Louis.
Amen, brother.
You won't find it. You really won't. You know, you go to Atlanta and get barbecue, and the worst barbecue place in St. Louis is better than what you're getting there. And we're just spoiled. We don't know it, but we're spoiled.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. When are you going to write a book?
I'm working on it.
I bet you are.
Shirtless Running by Brian McKenna.
That's been for a while now, hasn't it? You and I will come out with our book the same day.
How to run shirtless and how not to run shirtless. I could be the not to picture.
Shirts and Skins by Brian McKenna.
I just got the title. I've been working on that for 9 years.
That's the only thing holding you back.
Will you write the foreword for me?
Or you know I will. Oh, my Lord, will I? It'll be 50 pages.
The foreword's longer than the book.
Yeah. And this one, this other time, Brian McKenna said this. This is cool. I'm really impressed by this. I love recipe books to look at, like a little kid, but I'm not going to read it.
I'm better at picture books myself.
Yeah, no. You know, this is
more pictures and less words.
This is exactly, I'm not just saying this because you're sitting here. This is exactly my style because I will follow a recipe, but I get bored.
So these recipes, so I talked about how anybody can make this stuff. I mean, really, it's not that hard. But even a trained chef that's been doing this for 20 years, if you look at the recipe, it'll give you some ideas on how to tweak that to make it their own.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they're good base recipes. Mm-hmm. They're different than old school traditional recipes because what we have here in Missouri is, for example, we have a chapter on German food, and we talk about the heritage settling in different areas. Mainly in Missouri, it was kind of Herman and into Washington. And you know, the food that they brought from Germany, they couldn't necessarily get all the ingredients. So they used what they had locally. So it's German food, but it has that Missouri twist on it.
Yeah.
So we talk about that. We talk about, you know, these are the ingredients that we grow in Missouri and we use, you know, soybeans and corn. So there's a recipe on edamame using soybeans instead of lima beans. You know, each chapter mostly is broke down in ethnicity. But we do have one on homegrown, so things that are grown here.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have one that is, you know, special, just Missouri. You don't see anywhere else. And then we have one that kind of compares the better barbecue in the state to the Kansas City barbecue.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, there's a recipe here for cheesy corn.
Yeah, that's a Kansas like City
that.
Thing.
Let me rip this out for you, and you can take that home. Andrew's obsessed with corn, so.
Yeah.
Corn and being shirtless.
Pretty good.
What do you got going on? What do you do good in lately?
Still with the St. Louis Herald Network as a brand ambassador fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 501c3. We raise money for first responders and veterans.
Very nice.
And I do the McKenna Vibe business videos for companies.
Do you have anything coming up? Any events? Or is it just consistently go to the website and give?
We have our bourbon and badges coming up. Oh, well, Guns and Hoses. We're big with Guns and Hoses.
Yeah.
Our founder Charlie Metzner, who is a St. Louis firefighter. Oh, you guys had Charlie in studio.
Yeah.
He's on the board there. So we're working on that right now. And then Bourbons and Badges is coming up. Oh, what is it? What's a charities? The Christmas.
Operation.
Mm-hmm. 12 charities. Search. 12 bars.
No, we don't know.
It? 12 bars of charities or
you got
something.
Us.
Anyway, it's coming up in December. It's a huge day where other nonprofits, it's a competition.
You're not good at this.
No, I'm trying to think. Well, I was trying to think of the date.
Well, let me ask you this. You've known Brian a long time.
Clearly.
Have you? Yeah, and I'm sorry for that. But have you, in all honesty, not joking, have you ever met a man who's more charitable and does more for others?
No, yeah, he's a Dave. Prince.
Okay, maybe Dave. But we just met.
It's a good competition.
Yes.
It's a good competition we got going.
No, it's 12 bars of charity, and it's Stray Rescue, and we all are in this one huge area downtown, and we see who sells the most shirts and raises the most money.
I don't know that.
And we had our... You know,
are you going to be shirtless at this event?
No, you have to wear a shirt that day.
Okay.
But we finished third or fourth last year out of all these big charities. You know, and Stray Rescue wins almost every year.
Yeah.
But
good for
it's
them.
It's a fun day.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So one more time, and is the burger recipe in here?
No, but there is
a burger.
There
hold
is,
back.
There is a burger recipe. No, I'm not going to give that away.
That's the money maker.
Yeah, no way. There is a burger recipe in there that includes bacon jelly, which if you make that one time, you will have it in your refrigerator always.
Very nice.
You can put that on anything.
And the Phillips.
Can I ask him a question?
Yeah.
Why? It's called Shelley's Smash Burger. What? Who's Shelley?
Shelley, I talked about James earlier, the president of our company. It's his mother. Shelley is his mother and wife of our CEO, Don McNutt. And just a wonderful lady. Talk about charitable. She's on the board down at Loyola Academy and does a ton of stuff for them, and we help out with them. But wonderful lady, and, you know, having her name on it is nice. Is special to all of us.
We're going to have to watch out for her. She sounds like a force to be reckoned with.
She's cutting into your funds.
Might have to take her out.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it, Chef.
Thanks for having us on. I appreciate it.
Welcome back. DGS 252. Sorry. Got everyone excited there. I like Seinfeld. He seems like a very smart guy. He's a stoic, which I appreciate. I've studied stoicism myself. And he fairly recently, the last few months, said that the radical left was responsible for killing comedy. And he just did a podcast with Tom Papa, and he took it back and apologized. And I just thought, this is a template of how you do this. If you're going to apologize for something, this is how you do it.
So there were two things that I have to say I regret and that I have to take back. I said that the extreme left has suppressed the art of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I did say that.
Yeah.
That's not true. It's not true.
No?
No. If you're Lindsey Vonn, if you're a champion skier, you can put the gates anywhere you want on the mountain. She's going to make the gate. Whatever the culture is, we make the gate.
Mm-hmm.
You don't make the gate, you're out of the game. The game is, where is the gate? How do I make the gate and get down the hill in the way I want to? So does culture change? And are there things I used to say that I can't say, that everybody's always moving? Yeah, but that's the biggest, easiest target. The accuracy of your observation has to be 100 times finer than that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the extreme left has done anything to inhibit the art of comedy.
I mean, right?
Well, I remember giving him crap for when he originally said that.
I remember you have that on the show sheet.
Well, because there were so many other comics still doing great things. Like, Bill Burr hasn't gone anywhere. You know, Chappelle's still making tons of money. Like, nothing ever changed, but their feelings about it did. And I think that's great. That's very cool when you can realize, man, you know, my take wasn't there. And
yeah.
And I think we had pretty much, I think Kevin made almost the exact same point that he made there, which is that, yeah, like, goalposts do move with culture. And your job as a funny guy, comedian guy, is to find the goalposts and hit them.
Speaking of apologies, yesterday Bret Baier interviewed Kamala Harris on Fox. And it was pretty tense, and I thought Bret Baier was not at his best. I thought he was cosplaying a Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity, and I think he's better than both of them, hands down. But anyway, he said, you know, these three families lost loved ones to illegal immigrants. Do you owe them an apology? And she talked around it for 5 minutes, and I was thinking, just apologize. You are the vice president of the United States of America. If Americans were killed by people who shouldn't be here in America, I don't think that's a difficult apology. And I understand that Trump would run with it. And I understand why you don't do it. It's not great optics. And, oh, she takes full. But just rather, we all know that you should. We all know that you are partially responsible. If you want that job, just say, yes, on behalf of the United States government, I apologize for what happened to these families. Just to get a
glimpse beyond this loop. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.